Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Amen. I want to invite the saints of God to help me to worship. Or I should say, let us worship our way today through the sermon that God has given. So I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Matthew in the 14th chapter of that great gospel. And we're going to be reading verses 22 through 33. That is the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. It just sort of helps me by way of being a cue. If you could say, when you get it, if you could say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads as follows. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the disciples away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he invited them to get in the boat and go to the other side while he sent, the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. This is what they said. They said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, watch this now, he walked on the water, not frivolously, but to go to Jesus. Amen. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Just for a few minutes, I want to preach to you around this theme, this subject, why troubled waters should not keep you from coming to Jesus. Why troubled waters should not keep you from coming to Jesus. Even after salvation, we will need to come to Jesus on a daily basis for fellowship, for strength, and certainly for the rest of our souls. Please join me with heads bowed and eyes closed that we might call on our great God. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that we thank you and praise you. We ask that you would take full control of this, your servant. We know your word is already blessed and it will not return to you void. So we're thanking you by faith that you're going to use it to your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, let all of God's people say, amen. Amen. I'm not a scientist, but I do have a hypothesis. And my hypothesis is, none of you registered for RPTS because you had no issues, no problems. But my hypothesis is that you registered for RPTS in spite of your issues, in spite of your problems. You see, problems are a human experience. And no matter how sanctified you are or how sanctified you think you are, you're still a human Christian. And as a human Christian, you and I, we are subject to human tribulations. I had the distinct honor and the distinct pleasure of teaching the Exodus class at the Hardy Bible School for 8 years. And there was not a year that went by that a student did not come to me and drop out because they had issues, they had problems on the outside. But I'm of a different persuasion. Matter of fact, I have a bias. And my bias is, troubled waters should not keep you from Jesus, but troubled waters ought to drive you to Jesus. Now, I know I'm going to have to prove that to you, right? I know you're seminary students. I get that. But today I brought evidence to support my hypothesis. And my evidence is actually in the form of our older brother, Peter, and his response to a storm. Peter's response to troubled waters. The pretext to our text in Matthew chapter 14 is Jesus is being Jesus. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now Jesus has decided that he wants to give a benediction to the multitudes. So he makes his disciples. If you read the text, this is not a suggestion or a recommendation. Matter of fact, Jesus doesn't communicate in suggestions or recommendations. He communicates in commands. And the text says that Jesus immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, for Jesus, that's somewhat unusual for Jesus, because oftentimes as Jesus spent time with his disciples in Palestine or in the regions he was in, whether it was Judea or Galilee, when they would ever have to cross the sea, typically Jesus would get in the boat with them. But this is somewhat of an atypical case. It's not the usual. It's not the norm. He tells them to get in the boat and go to the other side while he dismisses the crowd. So the fellas get in the boat and they're on their way to the other side. Jesus gives the benedictus. He dismisses the crowd, but Jesus appears to be unconcerned about the disciples and their navigational experience going across the sea, because when he's finished, he goes up into the mountain, right, to pray to his Father. Good thing to do. Matter of fact, as seminary students, you may not have a mountain, but you ought to have a prayer closet, and you'll need to pray to your Father. So that's a good thing to do. He was alone. He was alone with his Father. But while Jesus is having fellowship with his Father, the disciples are out of fellowship with the wind, with the sea. Because according to the text, by now, their vessel is several furlongs away from the shore, and the Bible says that the wind was contrary, or the wind was blowing against them. And it's interesting because several in that boat were professional fishermen. It was not the kind of situation where they were unaccustomed to the sea or the meteorological forecast that sometime will affect the sea. Some of them had been professional fishermen, but this had to be a particularly devastating storm. And what made it even more devastating is Jesus was not in the boat. Oh, maybe Jesus is trying to help us to understand the relationship. When it comes to fellowship and intimacy with him, sometimes life can get a little jiggy if Jesus is not in your boat. From a fellowship standpoint, from the standpoint of intimacy, sometimes it can get a little shaky if Jesus is not in the boat of fellowship with you and I. But I'm thankful and I'm glad because Jesus appears to be unconcerned. He stayed for quite some time because the text says in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 a.m., here comes Jesus. Now, that's amazing because the brothers, the fellas, they've been out there for a while. But you know what? I really believe in my heart, no doubt you do too, since Jesus is sovereign and Jesus functions within his sovereignty and his deity, he was not unaware of the elements out there. He created them. He was not unaware that they were going to have a storm out there because he knows the beginning from the end. It really helps me to understand. I think this is a major lesson for us. Matter of fact, it helps me to understand that. Matter of fact, let me say it like this. Don't be surprised if Jesus sends you into a storm. Because there are some situations in life that Jesus must do in order for us to learn the lessons he wants us to learn. And sometimes to be a navigator, calm waters can't teach you how to navigate certain seas. You have to be able to experience the adversity of the sea in order to experience some things. I like to call these designer storms. And see, this happens to be a meteorological storm, but that's not the only kind of storm. There's several other classifications for storms, but Jesus is the master of all of them. Now, any of us in here, any of us, if you chose to, you could purchase a designer suit. That means you could go to a tailor and you can have a suit specifically designed for you with your specs, your specifications. Have it made the way you want. If you want a flap on this side of it, you can have a flap on that side of it. It will be fitting for your specifications. If you want to, you can have your name written on the inside of it. Because it's a designer, right? And just in case someone in church happens to pick your coat up by mistake, you do know sometimes people pick your coat up in church by mistake. You do know that. When you have tailor-made, you can have your name on the inside of that coat, right? Well, I want to say to you today, we have a divine tailor. And you don't have to go to him to divulge your specifications because he already knows your specifications. And sometimes he will send a designer storm fitting your specifications because iron sharpens iron. This happens to be a meteorological storm. But there are also circumstantial storms. There also are emotional storms. There also are academic storms and theological storms. But I propose to you, Jesus is the master of all of them. So don't allow your issue, your problem, to keep you from the problem solver. Amen? So he comes to them between 3 and 6 a.m. and they are terrified because they think it's a ghost. And sometimes when we're in a storm, life is a little foggy for us. Life is kind of blurry for us. And we don't always see Jesus clearly when we're in a storm. And they cry out and they say it's a ghost. But I love Jesus because he's a comforter. And he immediately says, "Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not fear." And here is a lesson on major league faith. It comes from our brother, Peter. Peter says in the text, matter of fact, I want to be specific about the verse. It is actually verse 28. Peter demonstrates a major league faith. Peter says, Lord, if it is you. In other words, I'm a little blurry because of the anxiety, because of the travail of the storm. But Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And notice what Jesus does. Jesus simply says, come. And I want to say to you, whatever storm your life may find itself in, whatever storm you may currently be in, if you're willing to come to Jesus, the word says those who come to him, and I know about irresistibility, those who come to him, he will in no wise, what? Cast out. So never allow your predicament to keep you from coming to Jesus, no matter how challenging or difficult it might seem. Peter gets out of the boat, and in verse 30, he walks on the water. And sometimes we pass it over, but I don't think we should. The brother walks on the water. It says it in the text. He says, come, Peter came down out of the boat, and he walked on the water in verse 29. I said it was verse 30, but it's actually verse 29. Peter participated in the miraculous. And if I did a brief unscientific survey today, I told you I'm not a scientist, so if I did a survey, it would be unscientific. And if I asked you, how many of you in your troubled waters would prefer to be water walkers or water sinkers? I'm not going to do the survey. I'm just kind of throwing it out parenthetically. My guess is that most of you, or not all of you, would prefer to be water walkers rather than water sinkers. And I would too. But the thing about that is, if you want to walk on the water, you got to get out of the boat. You and I will never walk on the water as long as we stay in the boat. Peter got up out of the boat. Now, it's more challenging. This is how I know how challenging it is, because I've been in boats. And I've been in boats as a Christian. I never thought about climbing over the side, praying to God, and asking him to help me walk on the water. Have you? This is major league faith. 11 other brothers stayed in the boat. But sometimes God is calling us and perhaps even challenging us to break the norm, to break the routine, to have faith enough in him to get out of the boat. If we want to walk on the water, that's the challenge. If we want to participate in the miraculous, Jesus will meet you where you're at in your faith. But you got to get out the boat, out of the routine, out of your comfort zone, so to speak. And when he saw the wind being boisterous, he became afraid. And the text says that he began to sink. But according to the scripture, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I don't know about you, I'm glad Jesus is a good catcher. He's caught me on many occasions. When the enemy was throwing some curveballs, Jesus was a good catcher because he caught me on many occasions. When the enemy was throwing fastballs and I was swinging and missing, Jesus caught me. Matter of fact, I'll say it to you like this. Jesus specializes, he's an all-weather God, but Jesus specializes in rescue missions. Did you know that? He specializes in rescue missions. Ask Brother Job. Ask Jonah. Ask Cooper. He found me in a horrible place, but I'm so glad that he's a good catcher. He got a strong hand. And he asked a profound question after a statement. The statement is, O ye of, you got it, little faith. And the question is, why did you doubt? You were walking on the water of your circumstances. You were participating in a miraculous. Why did you doubt? Which leads me to close with this. When you're in your storm, make sure you always take two weightlifters with you. One is faith and the other is focus. And they will lift you above your circumstances. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father and our Savior, we do thank you, God, for being God. We thank you, Lord, that sometimes, whether it's meteorological storms or whether it's other metaphoric storms, whatever the storm may be, we're glad that you're the master of all of it, Lord, and you can rescue us from weather-like storms or personal storms that blow into our lives when the winds blow contrary in our lives. We thank you, God, that you specialize in rescue missions. Help us to be faithful and to focus on Jesus. And we know in doing that, you will lift us back and put us back in the boat that we need to be in intimacy with you. We thank you and love you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.